Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And God, we don't take your word lightly. We believe it's the very spoken word of the Creator of the universe, written down in the pages of our Bibles so that we could know you, so that we could discover you, and that so that we could be changed by you. Because we believe that once we give our lives to you, God, we're never the same. And that process of transformation continues for years and years, molding us and shaping us into mighty men and women of God, Christians that are not ashamed of their faith, Christians that are not ashamed to speak about Jesus. Lord, let that be a part of our lives, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, that we're not ashamed to tell people that we believe in Jesus and that there is a creator who created us in their image. So God, as we open this word today, teach us, instruct us, that we will continue to grow in you and bless your heart. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. How many believe that the Christian faith is a bunch of transformations, changes that must take place in our lives over and over and over again? Last week, we ended our study with verse 29, and I want to read it to you. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. We were looking at the life of Moses and his faith in God and the protection that God gave upon the children of Israel. And the last thing we talked about was them passing through the Red Sea, entering into what we would call the wilderness. And if you and I were writing the book of Hebrews, we may make this next section about wandering faith, the faith of the children of God, or lack thereof, as they wandered through the wilderness. That would be how we would write the book of Hebrews. But we see there is no mention of Israel's failure. There are no mention of the 40 years of wasted time in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Why is that? Because that was an experience of unbelief. They did not trust in God. They did not fully believe in God. Though they saw amazing things, though they witnessed the parting of the sea, though they witnessed the Egyptians destroyed by the hand of God, though they saw all those things, there was still some unsettledness in their hearts. They wanted things their way. They wanted things under their terms. And there was this sense of unbelief. But the writer of Hebrews is not focusing upon unbelief. He's focusing on belief. The writer did use those experiences back in chapters 3 and 4 when it came to doubting the word of God. That we as Christians must not doubt the scriptures. Now, there's going to be a verse or two or a section of scriptures in our Bibles that we don't fully understand. But I don't know about you. I don't know if you've come to that place in your heart, but that when you read your word, you take it for face value. If God said it, it's true. We don't have to take some things in the Bible. Yeah, I'll accept that. No, those things I don't accept. We can't be those kinds of Christians. We must accept the total truth of God's word. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, you will not find a record of any failures because of unbelief. Because this reason, faith records only your victories. Somebody need to hear that this morning. Your faith in God, God only sees your victories. Your mistakes, your past failures have been forgotten, have been not focused on by God. By your faith, you are victorious. Perhaps you are here today consumed by your past failures. Perhaps you are being hindered by the enemy because you're constantly thinking about the things that I could have changed in my past. If only I had done that. If only I had answered that call upon my life early in my life. If only I had done that as God showed me, but I refused it. It's just as for Tim and Lisa, if they were to refuse the call that God had upon their lives, they'd be living in disobedience. But no, they're answering the call, yet to see what's going to happen and what's going to transpire as God reveals it to him. Faith has a transforming power over the life of a believer. Faith. See, I know when I first got saved, I didn't have a whole lot of faith. But as time went on, as I learned about God, as I learned about Jesus, as I learned about this relationship that I have from Him, I have with Him, I found out He's faithful. He's good. He does things on my best interests and yours as well. And to a point where over the years you just kind of go, God, you're going to do it. I'm going to trust you with it. It makes no sense to me, but I know it makes perfect sense to you. See, this next section deals with Joshua, Jericho, and Rahab. We will see two evidences of the transforming power of faith. And as we look at these two evidences, I want us to consider in our own hearts, what has God done in my life? What am I holding on to in my past that God isn't looking at any longer? To be freed from that, my friends. To be freed from the bondage of your past and be freed to live in your future that God has for you. Look with me, just two verses, verse 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Pause right there. Just give me your attention. I'm going to do them in different order than they're written down here in Hebrews because Rahab comes before the experience in Jericho. So I want to kind of do this in context. No, the transforming power of faith, the transforming power of your faith, my friends, can do these two things. Number one, it can transform your past offenses. Transform your past offenses. See, God can work what? All things out for good? For those who are called and love God? He can work those bad things that happened in your past for good? How many of us have experienced that some of the mistakes that we made in our past, God turned and made them into fruitful experiences? Wow, how does God do that? Because He's God. The transforming your past offenses, we see it here in verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. Now, Rahab is not simply Rahab, is she? But she is the harlot Rahab. Listen to me. More for the significance of her transformation than for the importance of her identification. You hear me? The writer of Hebrews isn't trying to draw that attention to that. He's trying to draw the attention to that, listen, she was a harlot, but God used her. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. That transforming power of faith in God can take our past messes and turn them into victories. It's an amazing thing to me. See, the reason that we see her as the harlot Rahab is because that is who she once was, not who she has become by faith. Yes, it is sad that we have to read this in our Bibles recorded for all eternity, past and future. That was her condition before. But let us not forget our own condition before we came to God. Let us not forget who we were before Jesus Christ blessed our lives. See, her story is found in Joshua chapter 2. And if we turn there with me, it's important to read this story. And maybe you know it. Excuse me. Maybe you know it. Maybe you know the story by heart. But for some that maybe have never read it, I want to read this chapter 2. So that you have a complete picture of what God has done. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of the harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." Not very good spies, wouldn't you agree? The very night they get there. Hey, by the way, there's a couple spies here already. Very night. Verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the wind went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up on the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road and out to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to the roof and said to them, to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the king, to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by the rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, this blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from our oath, which you have made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so shall it be. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Let's just pause right there. You get the idea. You get the picture. These spies come to Rahab's house, and she hides them. She puts them in protection. And what we see here is that God uses Rahab, uses her to protect these spies. And it's an interesting person that God chooses to use. It tells for each and every one of us here this morning that God can use us. No one is unable to be used by the hand of God. No, God chose this harlot. God used this harlot. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, it says, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Rahab married an Israelite, and through her lineage, Jesus Christ comes. Can you imagine? A pagan harlot becoming a part of the ancestry of Jesus Christ. Is that transforming power or is it not? The power of God to use any of our lives for his glory. See, I believe there's times when we disqualify ourselves. I believe there are some in this room that are not being used by God because they don't think they're qualified, because they don't think they've lived the right life. Listen, I truly don't believe God is looking for perfect people. I think God is looking for people who have a heart for him that can be a testimony. What a beautiful testimony this woman Rahab would be to any believer. I was once a very bad person, and God changed me. God used me. No, she became a part of the line of Jesus. This is what faith can do, my friends. This is what faith can do. Transform your life and do it in your life as well. Faith requires actions. Faith requires action. See, we can't just believe. Yes, that'll get us to heaven. But don't you want to live a life that's filled with great opportunities, great experiences that you've had with God, seeing people's lives change because of your own? James tells us this, the brother of Jesus says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works. Justified by the works, the things that she had done, it says. Faith was displayed by her by what she said, but she was justified by what she did. Right? We believe by faith what she said. Listen, many of us in this room could be known as the cheater, the hater, the adulterer, the liar. That's who we could be known as, because that's who we once were. But God transformed you into the person that you are today. Are you allowing that transforming process to continue in your life? Because God wants to clean out some things, amen? He wants to do a work in our hearts, change us from who we think we are to who God thinks we should be, or could be, in fact. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it'll be overhead. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that a verse for you? Is that a verse for me? It sure is. It's a reminder that if I remain in Christ, then everything's new. I don't have to worry about the things I've done in my past. We don't have to sit around and have coffee or have dinner together and talk about all the stupid things we did in the past. We might bring them up, a couple of them, and laugh at them, but then we go, praise God, right? Praise God that we're not that person anymore. God changes you, listen, forever. You're changed forever. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, as long as you stay in Christ, you are a new creation. Jesus says in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. How many people here this morning need some things to be new? How many people need some things to change in my life? I'm tired of the old. I'm tired of this old thinking. I'm tired of this old process. I hope you haven't left Joshua chapter 2. I want to again bring your attention to verse 10 and 11. This is, to me, the impact of godly people. It says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. They heard about the experiences that the children of Israel had with God. My question to you and I, are people hearing about the experiences that we've been having with God? Are people talking about, did you hear what happened to Pastor Rob? Did you hear what happened to his wife? Did you hear what she did at Ladies Bible Study the other day? Are you talking about those things? Huh. Are these discussions that we're having, that people are hearing about what our life is done and what God has done through our lives? But look at verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. See, Rahab wasn't like the rest, because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Rahab didn't perish like the others because of unbelief. See, the rest of the people in Jericho were scared in their boots because of the children of Israel and the God that they served. But Rahab saw it and realized there was a power greater than her. She recognized God. See, it says, again in verse, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. So I believe when people see the work that God's doing in your life, it prepares their heart. It softens their heart because they desire that for themselves as well. That's why it's important for you to share your experiences that you're having with God with someone. Share those things because you don't know how God might not use that in the life of someone else. And especially some of the difficult people in our lives. Is there somebody that you can think of that you kind of avoid because they don't believe and they don't like it that you believe? Do you try to avoid them? Or do you try to just drop those subtle hints of what God's doing for you? It'll prepare and soften their hearts. And then here's her confession of faith. Can you continue in verse 11? For the Lord your God, he is God. This shows us that Rahab believed. See, Rahab didn't look at the situation and panic and get nervous. She looked at the situation and says, I believe that's God. I believe that's God. And she accepted him. And that's why I believe God saw that in her heart and God used her to protect those spies. Rahab believed he was God of all things. She confessed with her mouth that he was God. Confessed it to them. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Certainly that speaks of salvation. But I think it also speaks to our situations every single day. The situations and the experiences you're going to have next week. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, I believe you'll be saved from your experiences that you'll have in life. Why? Because you're confessing the power of God. What did we talk about last week or 2 weeks ago, I think it was? You know, George Mueller, not focusing on the fog, but focusing on God. If we focus on God, we find strength to endure. If we focus on the circumstances, we're going to panic, like Peter when he sunk. He focused on the wind and the waves instead of keeping his focus on God. No, if you confess with your mouth, speak it. Even if you have to tell yourself, even if you have to convince yourself, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you're feeling beat up by the enemy, you need to convince yourself that God is greater. And don't well, I don't feel like it. Listen, there's a lot of us that don't feel like it. But we know by faith. Faith is not dictated by feeling. Faith is dictated by choice. You choose to believe. You choose to confess Jesus Christ. If you're in some senses of depression, if you're in some senses struggling every morning to get up to go to work, I mean, you just got to stand up and confess, Jesus Christ is in me. I have the power of God. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. The Holy Spirit's in me, and I have the power to do that. I have the power to raise and convince you, change your mind, change your feelings. The transforming power of your past offenses, that's what God can do. But look what else he can do. I'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, interesting thing here. Transforming your past offenses, but to me, the second thing, transforming your present obstacles. Transforming your present obstacles. What is it you're facing right now that's very difficult? What is it that's before you that you're looking at the situation and you're going, wow, that's hard. How am I going to get through that? How am I going to get past that? Whether it's a physical ailment that you're experiencing, whether it's a financial burden that's overwhelming you, whether it's, whatever it is, relationship that you're having with someone, it just seems too big. The interesting thing about this verse is Joshua is not recorded by name, but he's recorded by the unusual victory that God gave to him. Notice that? Of all the other people in this chapter, everybody was named by faith. Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Here, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. This is Joshua. Joshua. I mean, does the song come in? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. I thought about playing it, but it's like Joshua was the one that was facing this Jericho with, you know, fortified walls, double thick. In fact, I have a picture. If we could just put that picture up there to help you realize, I don't know if you can really see that, but there were double walls surrounding Jericho. And what does God tell the children of Israel to do? Get your worship people and walk around the city. What? Get your people, walk around the building for 6 days. Seventh day, you're going to do it seven times. And I can't imagine, and I don't know if you can think like this, but as they were walking around that building, or that city, they must have been thinking in their minds, what are we doing? And I bet the people in Jericho were looking down going, what are they doing? Right? I mean, they heard about what God had done. They heard about the experiences that children had through God. And now they're watching them just walking around with a worship service. This is their plan? This is their strategy? We were worried about this. Oh, you must be worried about this. But I believe in the heart of Joshua, as he's going around that city, he's going, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. He said he would do it. I can't wait to see it. Though he made, and again, the fog, but walking, this was the fog. This was the fog that the children of Israel could have looked at. How are these walls going to come down? I mean, we've got instruments. We don't have weapons. You know, the guards went before them, and the priest that followed behind them? Well, let's go look at it. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. As you're making your way to Joshua 6, the interesting thing about Joshua and looking at these walls, they didn't stop. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They kept going. Joshua obeyed the Lord. It did not hinder them. I'm wondering today if sometimes the obstacles in your way are those things that are slowing down your progress, are the things that are hindering you in your walk with God because there's something that seems overwhelming to you. Again, you're focusing on the situation. You're focusing on whatever that is before you and not focusing on how are we going to get through this, God? Because he will be with you every step of the way. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if there's an obstacle in front of you, you basically have to have that faith to say, move it, Lord. Move the mountain, right? If you have faith of a mustard seed and tell this mountain to move, it will move. And maybe some of you are looking at the mountain going, how is that going to move? Instead of going, how is that going to move, God? Let's do it. Let's get excited about how it's going to happen. And then let it be a testimony to someone. Look what God did in my life. Again, the list goes on of the things that we struggle with and the obstacles that are in our way that seem impossible. All right, I'm going to confess. And when Tim and Lisa said they were going to leave, and they said they had to sell their house before they left, I'm like, that's never going to happen. That's just Rob speaking. Rob goes, I've been trying to sell my house for how many years, babe? And it's not selling. And it's like, they're not going to sell it. That's me in my heart. But what do? I go, wait a minute. You heard my prayer. God, that's going to be a testimony of your goodness to show them that you're in this. When it sells in a situation, in an economy where nothing is selling, it's going to be an evidence of God's hand. And then I'm going to run around like a crying baby. Sell mine. What did you pray? Pray for me too. You know, it's just, right, it's an obstacle that I'm looking at the obstacle. But very quickly I go, but God, you can do anything. And I've got obstacles in my life. You've got obstacles in your life. And we can sit there and look at them and go, I'm not even going to bother praying because it's not going to happen. No, no, no. We must pray. Lord, show us. Reveal it to us. Don't give up. Don't let it hinder you. Look at verse 1 in chapter 6 here. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, that you shall do this, you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Covenant. So it was that when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets. And the rear guard came after the Ark. There it is. While the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice. Because he knows they're grumblers and complainers, I think. Now, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. And so he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early. It's a long way around. about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed thing, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Oh, this is such a good story. "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her.'" I mean, letting them go and do it must have been a great reward for them, to be able to go and fulfill that promise that they had. But here we see such an amazing, you can read the rest later. You know, guys, I see the power of God transforming this obstacle. I see the power, but you know what had to happen before then? There had to be obedience, number one, and there had to be staying the course and staying within the confines of what God gave, the instruction. God gave the instruction, and they did exactly as God told them to do. Obedience is key. Obedience is key to what God tells you. See, we all have had to wait for an answer from God, haven't we? I mean, that's a no-brainer. We've all had to wait, not receiving direction right away. And perhaps you have been marching and marching, but not seeing any relief on the horizon. Maybe you're doing what God tells you. You're doing what he says. You're praying. You're doing devotions. You know you're in that place that God has for you, but you're not seeing any results. Do you give up? You continue to march. Maybe you've been going around or going through the motions, but you're not feeling the emotion of what you're asking God to do. You're going through the motions. You're taking the steps that God said, but nothing's happening. And we begin to lose heart. My friends, what do you do when the obstacles become overwhelming? When the walls seem too high, too thick, too strong, when the pressures seem too great, when your responsibilities seem too hard, when the love for your spouse seems to have disappeared, these things happen to us. What do you do? Do you give up? Do you quit? Even though years ago God told you specifically this is what's going to happen. See, we forget that. When someone steps out into a venture of faith or someone steps out into a new opportunity, encourage them, write down what God told you to do. Write down exactly how he told you to do it, because there will come a day when it seems like you made a mistake and you'll have to come back to that promise and go, "No, God told me," and not give up. Do you run? Do you question? Even though God gave you the peace in your heart? How many people realize that the peace that surpasses understanding that comes from God is an answer to prayer? That peace that comes over us. As we're seeking the Lord, and then all of a sudden there's this sense of peace, and you're like, okay, now we got to wait for the answer. Listen, if you struggle with trusting the Lord through the rainy seasons of your life, if you struggle with it, if you're in that place right now, you're like, "I want to believe, but it's so hard." I don't often do this, but the lyrics to this song just bless me so, and I want to share it with you. Because I believe it's what we have, that proper perspective to endure through difficult times. This is "Bring the Rain" by Mercy Me. "I can count a million times people asking me how I could praise you with all that I've been through. The question just amazes me, can circumstances possibly change who I forever am in you? Maybe since my life was changed long before these rainy days, it never really ever crossed my mind to turn my back on you, O Lord, my only shelter from the storm. But instead, I draw closer through these times. So I pray, Bring me joy. Bring me peace. Bring me the chance to be free. Bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain. But if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. To me, that's the focus that we must have if we're going to have this transforming power of faith in our lives. If we're going to allow that past offenses and transforming our present obstacles, we have to have this perspective that if it brings you glory, that's what I want. If you have to endure what you're going through right now for another couple weeks, another couple months, another couple years, but God gets the most glory from it, will you continue? Would you continue to do it? I've been in some places in my life that were very painful, and I prayed a lot for God to take me out of it. But I also believe God revealed to me, I'm getting the most glory by you going through that. And I was good with that. I was good with that. Can we be good with that? Because that is the process that is changing you and me. The things that you're going through right now are building your character to be a bold witness for Christ and to be a testimony for him. That you can sit down with someone and say, this was a tragedy in my life, but look what God did with it. It was a tragedy. It was a difficulty. And God is good at doing that, my friends. See, the walls of Jericho came down, not brick by brick, by the hand of man. But they came down all at once by the hand of God. And my friends, your obstacle may be in front of you that seems overwhelming, but in the second, God can remove it. He's going to remove it when he's ready to be removed. Are you going to be patient and endure? Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that we would be those Christians that are willing to be transformed for your purposes and for your glory. And if in fact, we must go through some difficult times to bring you glory, then by all means, Jesus, bring the rain. Bring it. We know you won't leave us. We know that you won't abandon us. Though it may seem like it, though it may feel like it, we know it to be a lie that you'll leave us to be destroyed. So carry us through. Lift our eyes to you and let our hearts be focused on the healer, waiting for the healing. We love you, God. We thank you for your word today. Bless us as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.